Okay. Okay, so we have three topics on the table in front of us. We have the din of Talmid al Yoreh Bifnei Rabbo Elem Kein Rachok Mimenu Gimel Parsos. The din that a Talmid shouldn't paskin Bifnei Rabbo. Parallel Sugya and Erevin on Samech Beis and Samech Gimel. We also have the din that appears in the Gemara immediately before this, which is the halacha of Talmid al Yoreh Elem Kein Natal Rishus Mirabo, at the Takana of Rebbe. And then prior to this, we have a really fundamental question about the relationship between the Iker Smicha of Ishmi Pi Ishmi Pi Moshe Rabbeinu that appears in the Gemara really on Daf Yud Gimel, the Din of Notal Rishus Me Reish Galusa, which seems to be a lower level of Smicha, which from the Gemara appears to be sufficient to pater you from a Chiv Tashlumin if the Dayan makes a mistake. And then what appears from the simple reading of the Gemara to be a third level, that of Netilas Rishus of a Takana of Rebbe. Okay, so we really have three different sugyas on the table. The first being the relationship between the three different kinds of Smicha / Netilas Rishus, if indeed there are three. The second being the nature of the Gzeir of Talmud al-Yorah Bifnei Rabbo. And the third being, Talmud al-Yorah Le'imkei Nata Rishus Mei Rabbo. And the third being this question of Talmud al-Yorah Bifnei Rabbo. Okay, really three different sugyas that are very much related. Today I'm going to focus mostly on the last, okay, the din of Talmud al Yoreh Bifnei Rabbo. And then next Wednesday I'm going to go more into the relationship between this Gzeira and the Takan of Rebbe, and the relationship between the three different kinds of Smicha. Okay. So what is the nature of the Isser of Talmud al Yoreh Bifnei Rabbo? So the Gemara in Erevin on Samech Gimel Amid Aleph alludes in a few different ways to the fact that this Isser is really a din in Kavod HaRav. Rashi in that Gemara, for example, the Gemara he explained that maybe the Tzad Lesser is Mishum Chutzpah. And maybe the reason why we Aser Talmud to Paskin Bifnei Rabbo, even by Milsa de Pshita, is because it's considered Chutzpah. Ma'o lo ruye, Rashi and Samach Beis and Beis, Talmud Makam Rabbo, Kivin delo Talya Bisvara Milsa Pshita hu, then Shari, Odil mo Chutzpah. Okay, so for Rashi, the suggestion to aser even a davar pashut is mishum chutzpah. Similarly, the Rambam in Perakei of Hilchos Talmud Torah, the Rambam begins with the kishem that there's a din of kibud avayim for your parents, so too the din of kavod for your rebbeim. And the Rambam says one of these dinim of kavod is shelo lachlok al rabo, and in that context, he brings this din of not paskening bifnei rabo. Okay, so the Rambam also seems to suggest that the isser here is mishum kavod arav. The Ran in Sanhedrin on Daf Hei, discussing the case of the Talmud who comes to the city in Paskins, Ma'u Lilsos Chitin B'Pesach, the Ran says explicitly that a Rav could be mochel on his kavod, even to Paskin b'fan of Mamish, because Rav Shemochel HaKvod HaKvod HaMochel. Okay, so the Ran in Sanhedrin is very explicit that we're dealing with regular dinim of kavod. If the Rebbe could be mochel, since the Rebbe could be mochel on his kavod, Mimela the Talmud could Paskin b'fan of in that case. Another indication of this basis for the Isser is the Gemara in Erevin itself. The Gemara said, La frushe me yisura is mutter b'fanav. And the Gemara says, because ein chachm vein tfuna vein etel neger Hashem, kol mokom sheyishchil Hashem, ein cholkin kavod l'rav. Okay, so from the basis of the heter, the mokom la frushe me yisura, you can infer that the basis of the Isser itself is mishum kavod l'rav. Another basis for the din appears in the Gemara in Ksivis and Daf Samich. There we have the Memra of Abaya, Daf Samech Hamad Aleph, that the reason for the din is not Mishum Kavod. Amar Abaya, Hai Milsa Damar Abban Nafilu Biasa Bekuchta Lo Lishri Inish B'Makam Rabbe, Lo Mishum Demechzi Kaf Gerusa, not because it seems like it's disrespectful, Al Mishum De Lo Mestaya Milsa La Memra, Lo Mestaya Milsa, right, because the Psak is somehow invalid. Okay, there's some flaw with the psak itself. Okay, the question is, how do we interpret this Memra of Abaye? So one way to explicate it, and this is a pretty weak diuk, but it may help, is to say that it has to do with giving the psak due process. Right, that the Talmud shouldn't be the one to paskin a shayla. It's a more rigorous process of oversight or of just paskening a shayla if you take it to a higher authority. So we say, Talmud al-Yorah, Bifnei Rabbo. If you could go to the Rav, then don't let the Talmud paskin the case. So a diak to support this interpretation comes from the Orchos Chaim in Hilchos Dayanim Simen Beis. There, the Orchos Chaim is speaking about the halacha of having mesunim b'din. That's very important to weigh the din very carefully, not to rush to a psak. Wait till your chotech hit ad sofo. And then in that same paragraph, he says that the Talmud al Yorah bifnei rabo. Right? So the implication is that the din of Talmud al Yorah is a function of having mesunim b'din. Okay, make sure that you weigh the psak very, very carefully. Another support for this interpretation comes from the Pischei Tshuva and Reish Mem Beis Gimel in Yerideya. There, the Pischei Tshuva quotes the Tshuva of the Shavus Yaakov, that somebody should be makbid to be ma'ayin in Svarim, because the Svarim are the Morim Bizman Hazeh. Okay, so don't pass in a Shiloh right away. Look into a Sefer. He says, because of having Mesunim B'din, and the Pischei Tshuva brings this on the din in Shulchan Aruch of Talmud Al Yorah Bifnei Rabo. Okay, so if you connect the dots, it seems that the din of Talmud al-Yor b'fnei Rabu is a halach and having mesunim b'din. Bizman hazeh, if you take the argument to the Shavus Yaakov, that it's svarim bimkom sofrim, so you have to consult the svarim, you have to consult the rebbeim before you pask in the shiloh. Okay, so it's not a din in kavod, it's a din in the due process of having mesunim b'din. Nafkamina of these two different interpretations is already put forth by Tosos and Ksivist Afsamich Dibra Maschil Ki. So it says, the nafkamin is if the Rav shemachal kvodo, if the Rav gives rishus to the Talmud, if the Isser is mishum kavod Rav, then lechora the mechila should work. If it's a din in due process of having mesunim bedin, so then there's still a chiyuv to weigh the shayla ad sofo and to send it to the Rebbe. So this gives us a very clear-cut nafkamina. We could maybe suggest another nafkamina. This appears not necessarily with respect to Talmud al-Yorah b'fnei Rabo, but appears in the Rishonim with respect to Talmud al-Yorah l'imke natal reshus me Rabo. This appears in the Yichusei Tanayim v'Amorayim or Rabbi Yudabar Kleinemis Mishbira. It's in the Kamoi on page Samech Zayin. There he says it's usur for a shoel to rely on the psak of someone who wasn't notal reshus. Okay, so the nafkamina that you could suggest is that if it's midin kavod harav, so then b'di'eved, if the Talmud paskined for you, so you could rely on the psak. Right? It's the Talmud's problem that he violated hilchos kavod harav, but the psak itself is perfectly valid. If you take this argument to the Chusit Tanav Amorayim, you might say that if the problem here is due process, so you might say unless the Talmud puts it forward to the rav, then you can't rely on the psak itself. Okay, so nafkamina would be whether it's just a isser gavra on the Talmud to paskin bifnei rabo, but the psak is perfectly valid, or whether you'll say that since the psak didn't go through the full process, the mail is an isser on the shoel to rely on this psak. Okay, we'll come back to Sichus Tanaim V'Amorayim when we discuss Talmud Al Yorah Elam Kenata Vashos Meirabo. Okay, what are the exceptions to this? Tosus Rid in Ksuvis on Daf Samich says that the Gemara didn't mean to say that the din is exclusively grounded in Lo Mistaya Milsa. He meant to say that in addition to the consideration of the Gemara in Ksuvis of Kavod, you also have this consideration of due process. Okay, so the Chora for Tosfos already have two dinim going on here. It would be interesting to keep our eyes open for the fact, and maybe we'll see this next week, that the dinim of Kavod and the dinim of due process are inherently related to each other. Okay, not just in the sense that you violate dine kavod if you don't do due process, but in a certain sense, we define dine kavod by the right process of psak halacha. Okay, so this we'll see hopefully next week. Okay, so that's the background for the basis of this gezeira.
You didn't want to say anything like Mestai Milsa is more like, but you know, like Hashkafa, and like whether or not he has like the special Siyata Dishmaya to Paskin, things like that?
Oh, yeah, chore, that's Nichlal in due process, right?
I mean, that seems a lot more, grounded.
So what I said sounds more grounded, or yeah. Your thing, no, with waving your hands in the air sounds
the
more grounded?
The waving sounds significantly less grounded, but it's making it different. Not worse, but different.
Yeah. You want to put that in as a separate consideration?
I
thought. Okay, any...
Can you expand on due process? What do you mean by due process?
Oh, you want to be choteich the shayla ad sofo. So just like the Shavuz Yaakov says, don't answer off the top of your head. Double check, look into it. So also consult with your Rebbe to make sure this is indeed the correct psak, that there's no cholkim. Right?
Just because you want to be able to get the right psak, or is that because there's like a sort of like a procedure?
Integrity to the procedure? Open to interpretation. I'm not wedded to
You're the one defining the svara here.
I'm defining the base, the svara itself, and then you want to say, oh, should we interpret the svara lakan or lakan? Right? Should we take due process as a din in process or as a din in getting the right psak? Teleologically or deontically, right? That's what you're asking.
What?
You don't know Yiddish? But you're asking two different ways of explicating the interpretation of due process, right? But let's leave that open right now to be taken in different ways. Okay, I'm just using it as it's. I think it in itself is clear, and it stands as a marked contrast to Dine Kavod. Okay, but we can look more into it.
No one understood what that word means.
Okay. No one? Okay. What are exceptions to this basic din? Okay. We're going to look at, very quickly, we're going to look at five exceptions to the halacha of Talmud al-Yorah b'fnei Rabbo. One possible exception is raised by Tosos in Erevin, Samech Beis, and Beis, Divir Maschel Afilu. The Gemara had said that Afilu Biata Bekutcha is Aser Tepaske in b'fnei Rabbo. Rashi had interpreted Biata Bekuchta as eating eggs with something which is milchiks. The Tosfos there quoted the Sefer Aruch as saying that Ein lecha ama aretz lo yodea shemutaras b'chalav. Right, since every ama aretz knows that these are mutar b'chalav, so vadet has to be mutar b'fnei Rabbo. Okay, so the principle that you seem to get from this Tosfos is that if this is an obvious halacha, so then there's no iser of hora b'fnei Rabbo. It's not clear in Tosfos if it's because there's no shame hora on something which is davar pashut to everybody, or if there's just no violation of kavod ra. Okay, but in this first Tosos we have from the Aruch that if it's Ein Lecha Amar Shelo Yodea, i.e. it's a Davar Yodua, then there's no Isser of Hora B'fnei Rabbo. Similarly, Tosos on the same page in Divrei Maschil Rav, Tosos there explicates this B'Ferush, B'Shem D'Ri, V'Omeri, Davka B'Davar Shenir Chidush L'Shoel, V'Afilu B'Yata B'Kutcha Megillas Tainis, B'Chei Gavna Ayri. Aval Davar Shah Shoel Yodea, Sheyodua Min Hago Shel Davar Zeh, Kigo no sein tam lefkam, etc., then ein doma lo davar chidish ashari. Okay, so according to Tosos, it depends. The shoel may not know the actual psak din, but if he knows that whatever the psak din is, that it's a davar pashut, then it's mutter to answer him. Okay, so it really just depends on the perception. Here it's clear that it's a din of the perception. Does the shoel think that you're innovating something in giving him the answer? But even if he doesn't know the din, yet he knows that whatever the answer is davar pashut, so then it's mutar lehoros b'fnei Rabbo. What? Well, why else is he being shoel if he knows the din explicitly?
Doesn't know how to judge
He knows whatever the din is davar pashut.
What do you know by he doesn't know the din? He doesn't know whether he knows the tam is or mutar, or he knows
what to do.
Which one do you mean?
We all read, Davka b'davar shenire chidish l'shoel v'afilu b'yasa b'kutcha migilas tainis b'chei gavna ayri. T'afilu b'hayni sh'atamani debas aval davar sh'ashoel yodea sh'yadua min hago shel davar kego nosen tam lefkan v'chei yotze bo. I would say that, let's say the shoel.
What are you trying to cover
space? This is
let's say
the shoel doesn't know. Let's say the shoel doesn't know that no Saint Tam of Gam is mutter. Right?
Yeah.
And now he asks you and you tell him. But he knows that there's a Pashat Halacha about no Saint Tam of Gam.
It's still near a Kiddush, though.
Why?
Because it's still something new that he didn't know before.
No, but he doesn't think that it's an innovation. I was like, I mamish forgot.
An innovation meaning he has to think it's an objective innovation?
What do you mean objective innovation?
Meaning it is an innovation.
It's definitely a chiddush to him, whatever it is, whether it's your case where he doesn't know whether this is an application of...
According
to my understanding, there's no chiddush whatsoever.
There's no chiddush in the psak.
According
to you, it's just a guy who likes asking shilohs to his rebbeim. Right? It's like, Rebbe, do I have to wear tzitzis?
He feels more confident if he gets a psak for it. It's like,
But that's already a chiddush, right? Because he's getting something new.
That's not a chiddush. He knows what he's going to say.
Ah.
But he wants to hear it.
Ah, to me, the chiddush here is in the psychology of your Shaila asking than in the interpretation of Tosos. Right. I don't know. I would say it's the presumption if it's a davar yadua, even if the Shoal himself doesn't know it. That was my interpretation.
Why does all the examples that we showed him give, like those at Tamil Bam, why are they all things? According to you, any example could have worked depending on what people.
Assuming the Shoal knows that it's like it's a very clear cut halacha.
So why is like Nosing Tamil a good example of that?
And a Chanami. I don't know. Like, they could have given other answers.
It's a question of judgment. Nosing Tamil is one of those things where. Halacha, you could argue, is very well known, but the way to judge it requires experience.
What do you mean the way to judge? Like, you want to know whether ammonium is no same time with gam or not?
Yeah, something like that.
And that wouldn't be a davar. So I would assume that could be a davar chiddush, right? Because that's already a new interpretation. That's a new interpretation of what's considered lifgam.
In some cases, it might be, but in other cases, it could just be a question. I know what Pagami is. I just don't have enough experience to judge it. Someone who's passing a lot of shilos has enough experience to judge whether it's a lifgam or not.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure I hear that distinction then. Because it seems to me that anytime there's a shilo, it'll turn on some definition of lifgam. Unless you're going with Eli and saying that it's really just, you know the psak, you know the din, but you want to ask the shilo anyway.
Wait, can the guy just like not because of the mitzias? Like, he doesn't know.
He's asking the Rav whether or not people like the taste of ammonium.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't hear that interpretation. I don't know. Who interpreted?
Does the Shoal know what the minhag is? Like, if he knows everyone does it that way, but he's asking if they're doing the right, everyone's doing the right thing. Is that possible?
I didn't think so. L'chara means a case where the Shoal is b'safek, yet he knows that there is a davar yadua about it. Right. It's ma'asim b'chol yom. You get shilos, right? People just want to know what the basic halacha is. They know it's clear. They just forgot it, right? Like probably a lot of people when they read this Gemara on Samach Beis about biyata bekutcha, which the Gemara says davar pasha. You know, you want to look into it, say taka. What is the halacha biyata bekutcha? Right? Even though you know there's a pasha halacha about it, but until you see it, you don't know it. Okay, that's what I thought Tosis was saying. Anybody want to object to that? Anybody want to read Tosis differently with a raya to their interpretation? Then at least it's an open question in Tosis. Lichora, Rashi, who disagrees with this interpretation of the Aruch, with this objection of the Aruch, Rashi, who interpreted Biata Bekutcha, which is the case where the Gemara assers, despite the fact that the Sefer Aruch said, this is the Davar Yadua, the Incha Ma'aret Sheini Yodea Dinze, L'chora, Rashi might disagree and say, against this chiddush of Tosos, that even when it's a davar pashut, and the shul knows that there's a minig pashut but davar, it nevertheless may be usher to paskin.
What?
Or who knew more amaratzim? Or the amaratzim in France, who are different from the amaratzim in Italy. Italy is a country in Europe. Okay, so this is the first possible exception. Okay. The din of, if the halacha is yadu alakol. A second possible exception is what if the Rav is paskening, or he's determining a shaila in a way that's just a drasha. Okay, so he's simply darshening to the kila about what the halacha is. He's not deciding on a particular case. Okay. So Tosus and Irvin in Dibir Maschil Mahu on Samach Bezim Bez, Tosus says, Omeri, Kol Hani Horos Kegon Sheba Maisel Lefanav, Umor Lasos Kane. The Isser is only if he's deciding on a particular case. Aval Im Shoalin Letalmid Halacha Kedivri Mi Yachal Omer Lo, Kol Ma Shebedaito. If the Shaila is, do we paskin like the Rambam or the Rosh, or do we paskin like Rav or Rabbaya, then the Rav is allowed to tell you how we paskin. Now, the implication from this Tosos, and this is not obvious, though, the seeming implication is that if somebody comes to you about a particular case and asks you, halacha kedivrei mi, that lechora would be aser. Right, there's an ambiguity in the contrast in Tosos. Right? Is Tosos saying that you just can't adjudicate, you can't adjudicate on a case, but theoretically, just to say kedivrei mi is fine? Right, is the contrast between a case versus a theoretical discussion? or is his contrast between kedivrei mi versus versus a psak halacha? Kedivrei mi. Right, if I ask you, is this chicken kosher? And you'd say, oh, we pass in like the rush.
Is it heter in the question they're asking, or is it an answer you're giving?
Right. A simple reading of Tosos.
It's not clear that you're passing in a particular case, though.
Well, if somebody asks you, is this chicken kosher? And then you say, we pass in like the rush, so it is. Sure, that's passing on a case, even though you're only saying kedivrei mi. The implication in Tosos is that the distinction is between whether you're discussing a particular case or whether you're stam theoretically discussing halacha. Right? So the
what?
What
if you don't say so it is?
So the chayr then would also be aser. Because it's maybe it's like inferred from what you're saying.
The Gemara in Erevin asks another Rabbo on a statement called the Rebbe. I'll carry those right now. And Mark Subas also correctly is talking about Abaye saying
so you think it contradicts Tosus's?
No, I think that supports what you're saying. That even if you're saying Alachkar Lazar Yaakov
in a particular case, that's got to be Aser. Okay, good. So that would support the straightforward reading of Tosos.
The Gemara asks the Malori of Rabbah.
Right.
So
either would contradict Tosus Lagamri. Or you say this distinction. Okay. What? On this idea? Not that I know of. In Shir we suggested that there are possibly Rishonim who disagree with this Chiddush of Tosfos. Most probably Rabbeinu Yonah would disagree with this suggestion. Why? Because when the Gemara asked, why did Rav have to get permission from Reb Chiya? Okay. So the Rishonim were all trying to figure out what's the kasha. Maybe he got permission to pater himself from Tashlumin. Is the Gemara on Hamad Aleph to Hamad Beis. Maybe he got permission to pater himself from Tashlumin. Rabbeinu Yonah said there's no such thing as requiring Rishus for Patur Tashlumin when it comes to Hora. Because by definition, Hora is just a Rishus Lidrosh. I mean, when you get Smicha Yore Yore, it means you have the right to get up in a Beis Knesset and darshan what the halachos are. But you never have the right to tell somebody in a particular case what he has to do. And almost by its very definition, hora is that you're talking theoretically. A shoel may infer from your psak theoretically how he should act in a given case. But the rishus of yor is just rishus to paskin, is just a rishus to darshan. This is very clear in the Rabbeinu Yonah on the top of Hamad Aleph. So if by definition hora is to darshan. So then, when the Gemara says that Asur lo ruye b'makom rabo, you could conclude that even darshaning b'makom rabo is going to be asur. Okay. So again, if you take the Rabbeinu Yonah's definition of drasha of hora as being simply drasha from the Gemara in Hamad Aleph, and you take the Gemara which says Asur lo horas b'makom rabo, so you conclude that it's asur lidrosh b'hora even b'makom rabo l'chora against the suggestion of Tosfos Samach Beis Mabes. There's a similar suggestion also in the Meiri on Daf Hamed Aleph.
What would we use to describe the action of saying that means it means
us? Well, it's a hurrah, but it's never seen as the Rav paskening for the litigant what he has to do.
Yeah, fine. So then when he says Yora Yora, why can't he say that means it means us? Because he's just saying drasha.
That has like a din of a drasha.
That's what you want to say.
Right.
Isn't that what
right, in a certain sense, it seems like the shoel is never bound to the psak of the rav.
Oh, so you think for Rabbeinu Yonah, he can say that
It sounds like he could say that, but it would never be toface as like a normative decision for the shoel. Right? It always has the status of kilu. He said, "Oh, meat in this kind of situation, you know, with this kind of question about it, the halacha would be that it's kasher or tre." That seems to be Rabbeinu Yonah's suggestion. The point is, in contradistinction to din, there's never a case where the dayan or the rav is telling the litigants what they have to do. And for Rabbeinu Yonah, that means that there's never such a scenario of a toos behora, whereby the rav could be financially responsible for a mistaken psak. Right, that's the chiddush of Rabbeinu Yonah. Because you can never say the rav is the one who caused nezikin through his psak. Because by definition, the litigant is the one who accepted it. That's the nafkamina of Rabbeinu Yonah. Okay? What? It's kishmak that what? Okay? So l'chora, the Rabbeinu Yonah would dispute the suggestion of Tosos. A third exception to this rule of Talmud al Yore b'fnei Rabbo. Explicitly, he has that suggestion? Okay, very good. So the Shach is mechavin to Yakir's raya from the Gemara, probably. So a third suggestion, a third exception, is a case where a Rav wants to or Talmud wants to paskin for himself. The Gemara in Erevin on Samach Gimel Amid Aleph, the Gemara brings a story, and the Gemara ends up saying that Tzorba Mirabanan is Chazi L'Nafshe. As a Tzorba Mirabanan, you could check his own sack and shell Shechita. He doesn't have to go to his Rav to consult him. The Rush in Perek Vav Halacha Beis, the Rush there is Mesupak, if the same heter applies for the Bnei Beso of the Talmud. Okay, can the Talmud paskin for his own household? The Rush there says, it depends whether the heter of Chazi Sakina is purely Mishum Kavod HaRav. If it's Mishum Kavod HaRav, then the din of Tzurva Merabanan Chaz L'Nafshe is only a heter for Kavod. Okay? Because we assume that the Rav is going to be mocha on his Kavod for your own Shaila of the Sakin. Okay. But, the Rush says, and he says, V'lzeh Libi Nota, in a case of Hora, where there seems to be more at stake than just a matter of kavod, it will be usher to paskin even for Bnei Beso. Okay? So you see two things. First of all, the Rush thinks, l'chora, that it's usher to paskin for Bnei Beso. Okay, you have to go to the Rav for that shaila as well. Secondly, it seems that he holds very clearly that there's more at stake here than a matter of kavod. Right? Because his whole point is that in the case of Badik Sakina, then it's purely kavod. But in the case of Estam Hora, there's more at stake. Okay. That's what you see from this Chiddush of the Rush. Because that's the third possible exception. The Rush suggests that maybe Lanche basically have a heter, but he ends up being Mitzadeid Le'iser.
What is the distinction between checking the knife and not checking the knife?
And Hora. Between, he thinks maybe the heter in the Gemara is only for Badik Sakina. Does it say that? Do you have the Rush in front of you? Okay, so what stays, what the Rush is not mesupik about, he doesn't think there's any difference between La'asma or Levnei Beso.
Right,
there's no distinction there between Atzma and Nebeso. We know there's a het there, La'atzma for Sakin. That would extend to Nebeso. The question is, could you extend it to Hora? And there he's Mitzadig Lassar. Okay. Fourth exception, possible exception, is Lafrushe Meisura. This comes up in the Gemara in Erevin, Samech Gimel Amid Aleph explicitly. Rava, who quotes the Iker Din of Al Yor Bifnei Rabbo, he himself says, Lafrushe Meisura, afilu b'fan of Shapir Dami. There's a small ha'ara to make here, and well, we'll get this. The basic question is, in the case of Afrushe Meisura, is that because we're overriding Kavod HaRav, as the Gemara seems to imply, Ein Chachma v'ein Tvun neged Hashem, kol makom sheishchil Hashem, ein chokin Kavod LaRav, or are we saying that Lafrushe Meisura, there's no shame hora at all? Right? Hora, by definition, is a case where you're issuing a psak. But just to separate somebody from an iser, that's like a more fundamental kind of I don't know what the phrase would be, but it's a more fundamental way of just blocking somebody from performing an avera.
What do you mean, the more fundamental way?
It's like a basic, maybe lo samad al dam riecha, right? Which is not just saving his mamon, but also like saving his religious virtue, right? So it's not begeder psak halacha in this case. So you could bring two rayas here that the Rishonim assume that there is a shem hora. The Rambam Perikei of Hilchos Talmud Torah, the Rambam quotes this Gemara, the Rambam says that it's mutter lehoros in a case of lafrushe meisura. So it could be that the Rambam uses the lashon of mutter lehoros to tell you that there's still a shem hora in this case. If there was no shem hora, the Rambam should just say that it's mutter lafrushe meisura bifnei rabo. A stronger raya to this idea comes from the Me'iri in Sanhedrin on Haman Beis. The Gemara there quotes the din of Al Yor Bifnei Rabo.
Then the Gemara quotes the story of somebody who was standing in the Beis HaKvaros. And somebody said, Lav ben ish ploni koenata. Like, aren't you the son of a Kohen? The Meiri says, the Gemara juxtaposes these two dinim to tell you that even within the heter of lafrushe meisura, you shouldn't do so beferush bifnei rabo. You should only be merames to the fact that the person is violating the iser. And that's why the Gemara brings this case where the Amora was merames to the fact that he's a ben Kohen. Okay, so even lafrushe meisura bifnei rabo, you shouldn't do it explicitly. You should only do it bederech remiza.
Maybe we
should
say
it
still
is
not
defensible
Rav,
but the we're talking about isn't the Isser that we're talking about the Isser being more of Nei Rabo.
Yeah, but then maybe it's not I can find this for Rav yet problem of Kavod.
Aha Bisha Biarnu Sha Talmud, Vafilu Horsha Ainu Lahoros Bimakom Rabo. L'inyan hafrashas iser miyot tzarech legalos daito mehera kedei sheyifrash hala meisuro shekol sheyish bo chil Hashem ein chokin kavod l'rav ela shemikol makom roi lo shelo lomar kein b'muchlat ela derech sheela kolomar heichata ose davar zev halo davar zev yesh bo iser. But what's the kavod harav if not that you're being more bifnei rabo? Why? That's like a milah that the rav should. It's like no tel srara to be mafresh somebody min
isser. Well, yeah, I mean any type of any Torah matter that's in front of the rav is not.
Okay, but that we don't really find, right? We find the gemara in isser lahoros bifnei rabo, you know, but we don't find like an isser like to. Learn, like to learn bifnei rabo, or. Nah, you said lafrushe meisura would be like begeder what? Begeder what is there?
Teaching in general.
But you're definitely not teaching when you're.
Why not? You're definitely instructing. If you're mafresh meisura, you're definitely instructing guy not to be involved in the fisser.
Mm-hmm. You never said that it was. You don't have to always tell him that it's an esser. You can just tell him how to do something.
But right. If you just pull the tins.
And if you just pull them away, so there's no instruction, right? That's kind of what Yonatan's saying also.
Could we chat in Rashi and Arabic maybe that even though there's no Hara, but if you have some Puska Rashi saying that there's a couple of them to possibly.
Okay, but here, but that's even more dachuk, because that line of the Gemara comes after Mahu lo ruye b'makom rabo, and we're told afil biasa b'kutcha. So you're saying that the Gemara is telling you, look, even Shalola Horos is Asur. That's how you'd read that line in the Gemara. But it doesn't seem that way. The Gemara is telling Ma'alo Ruye, and the Gemara is Asur. Okay? Now, so there could be the Shaila whether or not there is a Shem Hora. From the Rambam and the Meiri, it sounds like there is a Shem Hora. And from the Meiri, we see that you should be Machmir Lirmos B'Makom Rabo. Second Shaila we should ask in Lafrushe Me'esura is how do we define Lafrushe Me'esura? And this touches on the question between Yoni against Yonatan and Eli. Right, how do you define Lafushe Meisura? Rashi on the Gemara had said, on Kigon Megillas Tainis, that it means you're telling people on which days it's Usher to fast on. Okay, essentially, Hora Le'Isser. Tosas there, Divir Maschil, Kigon Megillas Tainis, objected. He said, V'im Tomar Lomar Hachi, Lafushe Meisura Shari B'Makom Rabbe. Tosas thinks that if Rashi's interpretation that Megillas Tainis, that you're paskening which days are usher to fast on, that is essentially a case of Megillas of Lafrushe Meisura. Okay, so big chiddush from Tosos that Lafrushe Meisura doesn't mean actually separating somebody in the midst of the action from an iser. It means any psak leiser. Right, so just getting up there before a certain day and saying, by the way, today is one of the days of Megillas Tainis where you're not allowed to fast. That's begeder Lafrushe Meisura. Okay, so it seems to be a much more expansive view. And here it seems clear that Lafushe Meisura is perfectly compatible with the Hora. Because right? Here you're paskening. Right, so if you take Tosus' view, then it's very intuitive that it should have a Shem Hora. Rashi Lashitaso, Rashi who says that this is a case that would be Asur, i.e., it's not considered Lafushe Meisura when you're simply paskening cases that are Asur. Rashi l'shitaso on Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. Rashi says v'lafrushe me'isura. Ra Talmid Adam rotze lavor avera. Right, you see somebody who wants to actually do an avera. He's in the midst of the action. The rabbo sham v'shosek mutel Talmid likfotz v'ligor. Right, Talmud's like jumping in and like preventing him. Okay, so Rashi has a much more limited view of how we define l'afrushe me'isura. And if you want to go further with Rashi, maybe you could say a free Rashi that there wouldn't be a shem hora to simply likfots v'ligar. Right? Maybe it doesn't even require you to tell him that it's usser.
Wait, your conversion of Tosfot is that because it's more general, I mean, because it's not specific case, therefore it's more likely to be hora?
I'm saying that Tosfot's interpretation is more amenable to it having a shem hora. You get up in shul and you say, it's usser to do this on Tisha B'Av, it's usser to do this on Chanukah.
Why is that more kind of hora than
because at least it's clear that you're giving forth halachos. On Rashi's interpretation, lafushe meisura is you're pushing somebody away from a beis akvaros. Right, where it's much easier to see how that doesn't have a shem hara.
If you assume that by definition hara is much more practical, then Rashi's interpretation is much more close to hara than Tosfos.
So I think that'd be, you want to say that even Eli's case, right, where you jump on the person and you drag him out of the beis akvaros,
so
you don't tell him why, that's begeder hara.
I mean, that's like, you have to at least tell him something. I mean, it's too extreme. Right?
And so you'd say maybe like a Zaken Mamre who does
or
that or against...
Or like in Horio, they were talking about
Lasso. Right, so...
Well, they're Dafka Kish to Lasso, you have to tell them what to do, as opposed to just saying a general psak, or sorry, a general statement.
Well, Tosus's interpretation is compatible with Aser Lassos. Right, it's Lamaisa.
No, but it's still... And then
he's saying, look, everybody, tomorrow's Tisha B'Av, don't get haircuts.
And then you're still assuming that the more general it is, the more general the case is, that the more say, theoretical the case is, the more that we find it's hara. And I'm arguing that's not totally true, it's based on like other...
I'm saying the closer the case is to
an actual case,
to what seems to be like hara, like the case of paskening something from a bima, the more intuitive is that could have a shem hara. Look, Rashi definitely thinks that his case has a shem hara, right? That's uncontroversial.
Okay.
Do you agree to that?
Presumably.
Well, it's clear because the Gemara says ma'alo ruye b'yasa b'kotcha, and Rashi says that's a case where you're darshening less, or
yeah, okay.
Right. Now Tosfos wants to argue that that's a case lafushe meisura. So you're going to contend that the mere intention of lafushe meisura is okay the shem psak. That's what you're going to say? The mere fact that this is intended to prevent people from Yisurah, and that's going to be okay the shem hara?
Yeah, why not? Why can't you say that hara by definition has to be something which is positive, which is negative by definition?
Not you could say that, but my point is that Rashi's interpretation allows allows you to say more easily that this has a shem hara. Whereas if you're going in Eli's direction or Yonatan's direction, where you're just pushing somebody away without any semantic warning, right, that's closer to saying that there wouldn't be a shem hara. That's all. I'm not saying that what you're saying is impossible. What? Right, the maskana of the Gemara is that there is a shem hara or even. But then you have to figure out what's the difference between Tosa's case and the Gemara in the Gemara in Ksuvis. I have a why. So what distinguishes lafushe meisura from hora lesser? Granted, maskan and ksuvis.
That hora lesser is
lafushe meisura. Oh, so you're saying that Yoni's point is logically blocked. That you can't make that point at all.
Because right.
Right. So I'm saying Yoni would respond by saying, well, it depends what your intention is. Is your intention to paskin clearly lesser, or is your intention to prevent somebody from doing a Maisa Avera? Right? You hear? Is my intention to tell you that women can't wear tefillin? Or is my intention to block a few particular people from wearing tefillin? Right? That's the distinction that you would put forth. Right?
Yeah.
Some of those are the cases you're dealing with in Colombia. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. A final area of...
First-hand accounts?
A final area where you might have an exception to the din of Talmid al Yorah Bifnei Rabo is a case where the halacha is written down in Svarim. So the Gemara and Erevin seem to address this already, because the Gemara said afilu Megillas Tainis is aser, and Rashi says the yichus of Megillas Tainis is that even in the times of the Gemara, Megillas Tainis was already written down. Okay, so you see clearly that even if something is written, there's an iser harab bifnei rabo. The problem is Lagos Maimonios in Parakei Halacha Gimel, Lagos Maimonios explicitly rules against that interpretation. He says Bizmana Zeh that Pesachim are written down in the Sifrei Hagaonim, so it's mutter to paskin even bifnei rabo, if you have Svarim that give you the Pesachim very clearly. So the question is, and the Shulchan Aruch paskins this way in Siman Reish Mem Beis Sifkat and Tas. The question is, how do you reconcile the Pesach of that Golas Maimonios with the clear implication of the Gemara that bifnei rabo this is going to be aser? So here we have three suggestions. Two of them are suggested by the Prisha. The first is that maybe the Gemara is a case of Bifanov Mamish. Right? If you're standing right in front of your Rav, then even if it's written down, it's going to be Asur Paskin. The second suggestion put forth by the Prisha is that, again, it depends on the perception of the Shoel. Okay, so maybe you'll say, look, in the times of the Gemara, fine, it was written down in Megillas Tainis, but Megillas Tainis is only available to a few Tamid HaChachamim inside a Beis Medrash. Right, a Stam Yid comes and asks the Shaila, so he doesn't know that this is something that's chakuk in Megillas Tainis already. Right, so even though it's written down in a Sefer, it still appears as Davar Chadash to the Shoel, so that's what the Gemara asserted. But, presumably, the Prisha would argue, in the case of the Agos Maimonios, where Bizman HaZeh, everything's written down in the Shulchan Aruch, so every Yid knows that our basic halacha is paskin in Shulchan Aruch. So if you tell him a Psak that appears explicitly in the Beis Yosef of Shulchan Aruch, he knows it's not a Davar Chadash. Okay, so they're both cases of Kasav B'Sefer, yet there's a difference in whether it's near a Kedavar Chadash. A third suggestion is suggested by the Shach, and he says it depends if you're paskening explicitly from the Sefer, or whether it requires you to be Medam and Milsa L'Milsa. Okay, so even if your Psak is based off a Sefer, if it requires some sort of analysis or further reasoning of your own, so then it's going to be Aser. So L'Chora, he's reading the Gemara, the case of the Gemara in Ervin, as a case of your Medam and Milsa L'Milsa within Megillas Tainis. Should I read the Gemara? Okay, so we're biased. Rashi's interpretation is Elu Yamim Asurim Lesanos. Well, they're arguing what the case is of reasoning from Megillas Tainis. Right? Yeah. So Rashi will say, he's just asking you which days are Asur, and you tell him Halacha Psuka. L'chora, the Shach would say that he's asking you.
Why
would the Gemara add a detail that is written down if it doesn't matter? If you're going to be down to something that's not written down anyways. Yeah, it's a good question. But he'll interpret the Gemara saying, look, Ksiva Mancha, the basics are written, and yeah, you have to extend it. What?
Maybe which days are Mutter is not written.
From the other just tells you which days are Aser. Let's see, does Tosas imply that? No, right? Yishari lo ruye v'cheo de mitzas and havad lo mispo de mori ha'mina yushari. You know, maybe in Tosas' case also, v'chiyahu de mitzas and havad lo mispo behon de mori ha'mina yushari.
What is Isaac
saying? Right, maybe, well, he's not saying that. He's not saying
that. From those that are written down, there are also telephones like both there.
No, but it sounds like he's saying, I don't know if we have Megillas Tainis, but Megillas Tainis says, look, some of these days are Aser Behesped of Tainis. Some of them are Aser Behesped, some of them aren't. And it doesn't clarify. And then you have to go ahead and clarify which days are Aser Behesped.
So then what's the benefit of Megillas Tainis? It just says some days are
Aser Behesped. Yes, it's like, I don't know, it's the documents there.
It just says in one line, some days are Aser Behesped.
Well, it doesn't. There's no ambiguity at which days are Aser Behesped.
Yeah, okay,
we'll have to check into that. But look, or there are ways to read the Gemara where it's open. Okay.
The first line of Megillat Tainis is these are days Aser to fast, and on some of them it's Aser to do other things.
Right, but does it explain? Does it explain case by case? Like, does it exhaust all the possibilities? Okay, but some of them it does, some of them it doesn't.
Yeah.
Was there like a Megillat Tainis Chaburim that I missed?
Actually, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So that would solve Adam's problem. Okay. Two other. So this is a case. This the Pesach of the seems to be that in a case where it's Ksiva Umancha in the Sifri Agonim, so there's no shame Pesach on what you're issuing, and that seems to be what the Shach has in mind. Right? If there's an additional svar that goes in, so then you're paskening some sort of shaila. If you're just referring, you're just saying what's in the svarim, that's not considered to be a Pesach. Another way to take the heter of Svarim is suggested by the Smak Tzurich. He argues that Bizman Azeh, that everything is written in the Svarim, so there's no Atara, there's no Maisa, there's no Kavod for the Rav in his act of paskening a Shaila. Okay, so it's not so much that there's the Talmud's not doing anything when he's paskening. The point seems to be rather that there's no Kavod a Rav in the act of Psak anymore. Right, since everything is considered to be in the Svarim. Okay, so since the act of Psak is no longer considered an act of Kavod, Mimela, there's no Chiyuv for a Talmud to defer to the Rebbe Bizman Azeh. The Orchos Chaim has a third interpretation of this Heter Svarim, B'Shem Rav Shmuel Me'evro. He argues that Bizman Azeh, because we have Svarim, so there's no Dinim of Kavod Harav, there's no dinim of Kavod Harav for a Talmud anymore. Okay, so it's not that the act of Hora is no longer considered to be an act of Srara. It's that the relationship between a Talmud and a Rebbe has been undermined. Mipi Svarim below Mipi Sofrim. So Mimela, if there are no dinim of Kavod Harav, so there's no din, there's no particular din of not paskening Bifnei Rabo. The clear nafkamina between the Smak Tzurich and the Orchos Chaim is whether the Mitzias of Svarim undermines all dine Kavod Harav, as it does for the Orchos Chaim, or like the Smak Tzurich is saying, that simply the Maisa of Hora is no longer Maisa Svara. Yonatan, you had a question? Or?
Yeah.
What are we doing about Mistai Milsa from all the Shitas? What are we doing about Mistai Milsa? Lechora, it's an open question for some, not for others. Right? The Smak Tzurich and the Orchos Chaim are clearly siding on the side of Kavod.
They just don't
think Mistai Milsa is a factor. Maybe. Hagos Haimonios is an open question. The problem is that you might say Mistai Milsa, especially if you're interpreting it your way, could be a function of Dine Kavod. Right? It's low Mistai Milsa because you violate Dine Kavod Araf.
That's what one
right. So you could, if you take it that way, then you kind of undermine the distinction between them. What? Do we paskin low Mistai Milsa? Or according to Tosfos Rid, we definitely do. Because he's saying that it's not lachlok on, the Gemara's not being cholik on the Gemara and Erevin, so it's never a competition.
Well, Chabad is not arguing on Erevin, doesn't mean Rava's not arguing on
Chabad. But have we ever find Rava's cholik on Abaya in this? We don't know. I haven't seen it passing them anywhere, but I check exhaustively.
It's also not clear if this time also triggers an actual issue.
Right, but the Rishonim have quoted Kaisef Mishnah, and other Rishonim assume that there's some sort of Isser there. Kaisef Mishnah used the Lashon of Isser, Behedja, the last time, Milsa.
If you don't take the Arav HaShulchan and you instead take a due process, like more concretized version of Istai Milsa, you have to say we just don't pass it like it. Otherwise, we have...
For who?
For all the other Shitas over here. That seems to say that if there's no...
All the other Shitas within Svarim, or...
Yeah. Anyone that says that it's okay because there's no Kavod problem anymore... And
why
not addressing the Stai Milsa has to either say that Stai Milsa is a function of Kavod, or we don't care about Stai Milsa.
Well, why can't they assume that there's due process through Svarim? Because Manasseh.
Is there? You can't really have
a
dialogue with Svarim.
Well, that's the Shvus Yaakov's whole point, is that Bizmanazeh, the dialogue, or the process, is through being Ma'ayin B'Svarim. Alright, so it could be they're taking that for granted. It's Pashit that Svarim give you due process. The only thing is you still might have an issue of Kavod Araf. So that's why I'm not even trying to sort out Mistai Milsa versus Kavod Harav in this discussion. Okay. Al Kol Panim, the Ma'arik in Siman Kuf Samech Tes disagrees with this whole line of reasoning. This seems eminently plausible. Ma'arik says, look, even if everything's written down in Svarim, there are always shilas that are not fully determined by those very Svarim. Okay, so it's very, you know, here we see this tension throughout, like in Shlichus Sayu, the notion that all precedents are already determined by the Bezna Gadol Yerushalayim, right? That was the suggestion of the Rabbeinu Baruch Meretz Yavan. Here you have the suggestion from the Orchos Chaim and the Smak Tzurich. All Shilohs are already determined by the Svarim. And Hidma Riksh is saying, look, that's absurd. Right? No matter how many halachos you're going to write down, there'll always be open questions for Svara. So that would undermine all three of these arguments. Okay? There's always room for a Talmud-Rabbi relationship. It's never the case that there's no Svara in paskening a Shaila, because there's always going to be some room for Svara. And it's absurd to say that there's no Shem Sak just by virtue of the existence of Svarim. Okay, so the Marik's argument that Svarim don't fully exhaust the range of possibilities undermines all three of these contentions. Okay, let me close with one final area that we have to discuss. The Gemara in Sanhedrin said that the Isser is for a Talmud to be Mora Bifnei Rabo. Chutz Legmu Parsos, the Gemara says, is clearly Mutter. The Gemara in Erevin implies otherwise. The Gemara says that Bifnei Rabo is Chayev Misa, Shelo Bifnei Rabo is Aser. Implication being that Shelo Bifnei Rabo, no matter where you are, is going to be Aser. Okay, so how do you reconcile the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which implies the Heter of Chutz Legimel Parsos, with the Isser of the Gemara in Erevin, which implies that it's Aser, even Shelo Bifanov Legamri? Okay, so here we just have to run through four definitions of Bifanov. Tosos in Sanhedrin, Daf Hei Mebeis. Tosos says that Sanhedrin is defined by Toch Gimel Parsos. Shelo Bifanov is defined by Chutz LeGimel Parsos. Okay, so the definition of Bifanov is Gimel Parsos. Why then does the Gemara in Erevin assume that it's Aser Chutz LeGimel Parsos? That's because it's a case where you weren't Notel Rishus. Okay, but with Netilas Rishus, you could paskin Chutz LeGimel Parsos. So Tosus' definition is Toch Gimel Parsos is the definition of Bifanov. The Ritva in Erevin accepts this with a slight modification. The Ritva says we really have three different jurisdictions. You have Toch Gimel, which is Bifanov. You have Chutz LeGimel Batoch Aparchia. That's outside of Gimel, but you're still within the state or the province of the Rebbe. And then you have Chutz LaParchia. Chutz LaParchia is going to be Mutter LeGamri. Okay, basically the point is the Gemara in Sanhedrin and the Gemara in Erevin are dealing with two different cases. Shelo Bifanov of the Gemara in Erevin is Toch Aparchia. Sorry. The case of Heter is going to be a case of Chutz LaParchia LeGamri. Chutz LeGimel, Toch Aparchia is still going to be Aser. A third definition is put forth by the Ran in Erevin. The Ran says Bifanov is not Toch Gimel. Bifanov is Bifanov Mamish. Shelo Bifanov is defined by Shelo Bifanov Mamish, but Toch Gimel Parsaos. Then the Gemara comes along and the Gemara says that Mitakanta de Rebbe, we're going to ask her Afilu Ad Sofa Olam. Okay? So according to the Ran in Erevin, again, Bifanov is Bifanov Mamish. Shelo Bifanov is Toch Gimel. The Takana of Rebbe requires that you get Rishus Afilu Ad Sofa Olam. A fourth definition of Bifanov is put forth by Rabbeinu Yonah in our Sigya. Rabbeinu Yonah defines Bifanov as Kol Shebichaye Harav. Okay, so long as the Rebbe is alive, that's considered to be Bifanov. How does that make any sense? So L'chora, what he means Bifanov is in the sense that the Shaila was supposed to be directed to the Rebbe. Right? Since the Shaila was supposed to go to the Rebbe, you're passing essentially Bifanov.
Isn't this not on the line of Tamil Ayurveda?
What?
Isn't this on the other line of the Gemara, that Tamil Ayurveda Elam Ginatha
Rishis Mirabo? Where he has a Gersha, Elam Ginatha Rishis?
And he explains that Bifanov
doesn't
mean actually Bifanov?
They have two different definitions of Bifanov. How we were suggesting in Shir. Yeah, you could. That depends whether you have two pshatim or. Those are two different ways of saying that, of explicating why the Talmud is considered to always be Bifnei Rabo. Right? Like we said, psychologically, like you're always subject to the Rav. Or you could say, like this other way, that like the. Since like the Shaila is supposed to go to the Rebbe, right, so you're going before him. Isaac, I don't know, I'll check for this later. So those are four different construals of how What?
Clearly passing like the Orchos Chaim.
I clearly passing like the Orchos Chaim.
I was thinking about awesome.
Mom is disagreeing on the cheer.
Oh, here in this definition of Rabbi Yonah?
Yeah.
Why? I thought in Shir we said this. The definition that you're always considered to be Bifnei Rabo. Right? Either psychologically. Or what was the other suggestion we gave in Shir?
Theological.
No, that's what Ethan wants to say.
What was the other definition we gave in Shir?
Like the
hey, you're Bifnei Rabo because.
You shouldn't be answering this question.
First of all, Kamash Malan, the Adam understands what teleology means.
No.
Which Kamash Malan, that you're wrong when said nobody says that.
The other one you said. We know what teleology is.
Okay. So one of them is the suggestion that psychologically your Rebbe's always there.
The other one's like, you shouldn't be the guy's on Tila for your Rebbe. Like, he should be answering this question, not you.
You shouldn't be putting yourself in the position.
Right, but I'm just formulating that differently. But you're saying, look, you shouldn't be poskening.
You're saying from the perspective of the Shiloh, we're saying it's your perspective of the person.
Like, it's not appropriate.
Yeah.
But what's the Bifnei Rabo?
That you are, if you're in his place.
That's the psychological pshat.
No.
Oh, that's like, you mean, like, it's like Bimkom Rabo.
Yeah.
Okay, but why is it considered Bimkom Rabo?
Because he should be the one answering the question.
Right, so doesn't that mean that the tshuva should be going to the Rebbe?
Because the question is addressed to him, it's because you, like, that's just...
You're putting yourself Bimkom Rabo in his shoes.
But why? Doesn't that presuppose that the Rebbe should be getting the Shiloh?
Not because of the Shiloh, but because of you.
But I'm saying because of you, why can't you pass him before him? Because there's a requirement that the Shiloh go to the Rebbe. Do you not agree to that?
I don't know if it's like the teleology of Shiloh.
But that's all I'm saying, the teleology, is that if the Shiloh is supposed to go to the Rebbe...
But why is it supposed to go to the Rebbe?
Okay, so maybe our machlokas here is whether we're siding towards due process of having Masun and Bedin, which I'm saying the process of the Shiloh is that should always go to the highest source. So in Mela, you shouldn't interject yourself before a rabbi. And you're saying, I'll cover the Talmud has a responsibility to defer to the rabbi. I'm saying it only makes sense to talk about the Talmud deferring to the rabbi if antecedently there's a reason why this tshuva is supposed to be going, this Shiloh is going to the rabbi. Right, the question is whether you guys could maintain your interpretation without buying into that antecedent presupposition. Okay? Okay, so these are four different construals of Bifanov. We have another important distinction in the Rishonim.
When you say the Shiloh should be going to the Rav, you mean it should be addressed, the question should be addressed to the Rav, or the Rav should be the one who takes care and answers?
The latter.
What?
The latter. And there's no problem with like a Shoel maybe putting the Shiloh to the Talmud, but like it's supposed to make its way to the Rabbi.
No, but still, you're saying that the Shiloh is supposed to be presented to the Rabbi and somehow make its way to the Rabbi, or the Rabbi is supposed to be answering?
I was saying more the former. Like it's the din and the Shiloh that it's supposed to be getting to the...
Right, so why can't you say the latter?
Let's talk about this after. I just want to wrap up here. We have another important... So that's the distinction in how we define the different ways of Bifanov. Here we have a second distinction in the Rishonim. And this turns on how Kavua versus Akrai the situation is. Okay, and in at least two different senses. Okay, so the first sense is in terms of defining the makom, maybe we only define makom harav if the rav is there bekvias. Okay, so the Mordechai and Simon Taf Kuf Yod in Irvin says that it's only considered makom harav if the rav visits there on Yom Sheni v'chamishi. Okay, the rav permanently or consistently comes here, but if it's a place where the Rebbe only goes back right, so then the Rebbe doesn't have jurisdiction over that place. So that's Kavua and Akrai as applied to the Makom Harav. The Rambam seems to also have a similar distinction, but not with respect to the Makom, rather with respect to how Kavua the Talmud is setting up shop. So the Rambam here has a suggestion that a Talmud could be More be'Akrai be'Makom Rabo. But if he's koveya, if he's paskening chutz the gimel parsos, the Rambam says the Talmud could pasken be'akrai. But to set up shop bekvius that the Talmud is establishing a permanent base medrash, that's also even chutz the gimel parsos. Okay, so you also have this akrai versus kavua distinction, but applied to the mode in which the Talmud is setting up his base medrash. A final distinction that we have is a similar to kavua and akrai, but not applied to Makom, nor applied to the way the Talmud is establishing his base medrash, but rather with respect to the relationship between the Talmud and the Rebbe. Okay, so meaning if the relationship is Talmud Muvak to the Rebbe, so then it'll be Aser even Chutz the Gimel Parsaos. This is a suggestion of Tosan Ervin. But for a Talmud Sheino Muvak, then the Iser is only Befanda Mamish. Okay, so we have three different applications of this Kavua and Akrai. According to the Mordechai, it depends if the Rebbe is visiting Bakrai or Bekvias. According to the Rambam, it depends if the Talmud is setting up a base medrash Bekvias. According to Tosan Ervin, it's going to determine whether it's going to, it turns on whether the Talmud's relationship is a Talmud Kavua or a Talmud Sheino Kavua. Okay, so next week we'll pick up with the other two aspects of the Sigya. Talmud al Yor Elim Kein Natal Rishus Me Rabo, and the relationship between the three different kinds of Smiyah.